This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Sandra Ramos. She's an artist. She's visiting the United States from Cuba. She lives in both Havana and Miami. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Yes, thank you.
You studied art in Havana, and I wondered, what is the art education like? Mm-hmm. We hear a lot about the Cuban education system and how great it is.
Yeah, the art education system is very good. It was great when I was a child. I studied at the elementary art school that was, you start when you were 12 years old. So you have 3 years, like a preparation for applying to the academy school that is San Alejandro. It's a very old school. It's the oldest in America Latina. And it's a school where you get like a media level graduation. And after that, you need to make again the test to the Higher Institute of Art. It's the ISA. I studied there for 5 years. It's a great school because mainly the most important artists of Cuba teach there. And it's very selective. In my group, we were only like 10 people studying at that time.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. In visual
in the
arts?
In printmaking. Uh-huh. In total visual art, they were like 30. Mm-hmm.
And so once you graduate, mm-hmm. What do you do as an artist in Cuba?
When I graduated in 1993, I stayed there for a few years teaching. But after that, I just lived from my work. I work as the whole time as an artist, and I support myself for my work as an artist.
Now, what is the market like when you're, let's say, making prints or paintings in Cuba? Who are your buyers?
The buyers are fundamentally foreign, and I work with galleries outside Cuba. I start to work with a gallery in Mexico, Nina Menocal, in 1993, and I work with gallery in Tokyo, in Spain, in Germany, in Miami, and New York.
Is there a gallery system at all in Havana?
There is a few galleries, but they are all run by the government.
And so what are the limitations of that?
There are a lot of artists and just a few galleries. So to get a show in a gallery maybe took you 2 years, because there are good galleries for contemporary art, and mainly two.
And mm-hmm. So what, like when you've got a government-run gallery mm-hmm. and then some buyers come in and buy the art, mm-hmm. do you like split the profits?
Yeah, it's the same that in any regular gallery. You split the profit 50-50.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what is the contemporary art scene like in Havana today? I mean, I was noticing, looking at your work, that you have a very nice website. It's called sandraramosart.com. But there's a lot of sense of really questioning the future. Where do mm-hmm. I belong? Bridges, going mm-hmm. from here to there, things like that. And I wondered if that was characteristic of not only your work, but the kind of questions that other artists are asking in Cuba.
Yes, I think since the end of the 80s, Cuban contemporary art all the time is questioning about what happened in Cuba, what would be the future of the country, about the political situation. Art has always been very visual art, and I think also some music and theater have been very critic about what has happened in Cuba in the last 20 years. And now that with all the change, I think young generation is still looking to this, but they have a projection that have more to do maybe with aesthetic and art issues, but so not so much to politics and society as my generation used to work with.
Is that right? So they're not as politicized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very interesting. You grew up in that sort of in-between generation. You were born after the Cuban Revolution.
Yeah.
And so your parents' generation saw that and either believed in it or didn't believe in it or left, as a lot of people who didn't believe in it left. What was your sense of the Cuban Revolution when you were growing up?
Well, when I was a child, I have the same sense that almost all the child in Cuba have. I was a pioneer. That's something that I reflect a lot in my art. And we received this education in which we believe we were living in the best place. We will have a bright future. We believe in all these equality dreams that we have as utopia. But the contrast was when we passed this childhood age, and then you confront the reality. And for me, it was very shocking because it was all exactly with the special during the special period that was after Russia fall, and so it was a big crisis in Cuba and social economy and politics and social. It was like that's something that I refer a lot to my work. This breakdown between the utopian childhood and the reality of the country that was in a total crisis and socially and politically.
And for our younger listeners, around 1989-90 and the fall of the Berlin Wall and the Soviet Union, a lot of Cuba's support, which had come from the Soviet Union, dried up, and Cuba went through a very, very difficult period. And a lot of people who had led something like a middle-class life in Cuba up until then were really struggling and for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think still, because the professionals, workers still in Cuba are very hard everyday reality. If you are a doctor or a teacher or your job doesn't get you a good life.
Yeah. And so as a young artist responding to that, I mean, one thing that I'm so struck by when I look at your work is some Americans, especially American leftists, they look at Cuba and they still see some things that we wish we had in this country. Mm-hmm. And Cubans look at the United States and see things they wish they had in their country.
Yeah.
And there are works you do, for example, of your perspective on New York and Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if you could kind of describe in words the, you know, your perspective, a Cuban perspective on those big American cities.
Yes, my work is very personal and it's always a kind of diary. And most of this work I made with pictures that I took when I go to this city. And it has to do a lot with the idea of, as an immigrant or a visitor, it's always hard for you to understand a different reality. For me, it's very interesting also like this kind of false world that you have with all this construction that try to imitate the world outside, but they are not real. It's all like a scenography
right.
in these cities. And that's interesting for me because I always work with the reference to Alice in Wonderland. That is a kind of character that I feel very involved with. And even when I was in Cuba, I also seen the reality from the perspective of the world outside and you as a person and the world as a scenery. And I found this very interesting here, no, because it's like many cities are like a big scenery,
yeah,
and places that you can see that are the same in, like the McDonald's or the Starbucks, that are always the same a scenery that you move from one city to another, or places like as Las Vegas or Disney,
right,
are completely false world. No?
Yeah, and there's a I think it's a print that you did that was so. It was sort of funny and interesting to me, which is a image of Alice in Wonderland who sees a bottle and it says "Drink me," and it's next to a big Coca-Cola sign with a woman's face on it, you know, essentially saying the same thing, "Drink me."
Yeah.
And it does sort of call into question, like, what is this American thing that we are representing, which is so heavily based on kind of advertising and consumer capitalism.
Yeah, that's very interesting for me as an artist. And it's the kind of work that I am doing now that is more referred to American society also. Because as an artist, I am always concerned about the world that surrounds me. When I was in Cuba, it was very interesting for me to talk about political and social issues in Cuba. And here, I find a lot of subjects also that are interesting to deal with, no, to make a confrontation. For instance, advertising I've seen is a lot. It's like more than is necessary.
Well, more than is necessary. And I have to say, I mean, as somebody who's been to Cuba a bunch of times, I haven't been lately, but one of the things that I've really loved about Cuba, and I'm not saying it's a perfect society, because it's a very difficult society, and I don't, you know, it's very hard to make a living there, and there's a lot of people struggling, a lot of people very limited, and so on. But one of the things that was so great for me was total freedom from advertising.
Yeah.
Nothing. There's absolutely none. So you walk down the street and you are not bombarded.
Well, you have a lot of political advertising.
I know, but those are just sort of cute.
Well, for you, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I think we have a lot of political advertising and in the TV, in the news, and it's always like a kind of indoctrination. But I understand, as a foreign, for you, you don't see the commercial advertising is something interesting. But now we start to have commercial advertising also, and I think it will be something that increase as Cuba in some way start to capitalize and open economy. I don't like advertising at all.
Yeah,
I think it's not necessary, not the political and not the economical or commercial advertising. I think in some way that's something that tried to guide people to do something that it's not on them.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm. We're talking to artist Sandra Ramos from Havana, Cuba. Now, how are you feeling, and how are the artists in your community feeling about the changes that are happening now, the opening of relations between the United States and Cuba?
Well, everybody is very happy with the open of relation. Everybody had a lot of hope that this will help to improve life in Cuba. At the same time, the change in Cuba had a lot of risk also, that it would become just a touristic place as any other in America. But it depends a lot of the Cubans what would be the future of the island. And I think it's a moment important in which everybody have something to say and to take a step.
Well, is there a vehicle for Cuban people's voices to be heard in how these changes manifest?
That's a big problem, because we are still run by the same politics. The change are in the economical, but in the political we have the same government.
So there really aren't the vehicles for people to express themselves politically. What is the role, I mean, you're an artist, and free expression is your business. It's your soul.
I think artists has been very important for that. I think artists express a lot how people feel in the music, in the movies. You see a lot of movies that are in visual arts, but it should be another way that is not through the art. It should be a legal way or a political way in which people could access. Because we can say what is happening, but we cannot change so much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, have you encountered or known people who've encountered any kind of censorship or limitations on your freedom of expression as artists?
I have not. My work, I always say whatever I want. I find a way to say it without being censored. But there have been a lot of other artists that they have been censored. For instance, now it happened with Tania Brugueras just very recent during the Havana Biennial. Before Havana Biennial, in December, she tried to make a performance in Plaza de la Revolución to give 1 minute to anybody who wants to talk about anything in the Plaza de la Revolución, and that was censored.
And they stop people from actually going up to the microphone?
Yeah, no, they don't even let to put the microphone.
Ah.
So and she was in jail for 1 night, and then they take out her passport. It has been a big problem, and she's a very well-recognized artist in Cuba. And that happened with other artists, too. But in other ways, you see the song from Carlos Varela, you see the movies from Titón, from many other young directors now, because the tone was in the 60s, and you see my art or the art or the artists, and you can feel that it's a freedom of expression. But it depends a lot also of how you approach to the public. It is in a performance or something on the street, is always very watch for the authorities, because they are afraid of that something happened.
Why do you think that that kind of, like, basically open microphone is so threatening and more threatening than, say, the work of an artist or filmmaker?
I don't know. I don't. It's in the mind of. That's because that's. I think what they is afraid because what we talked before, because they are not the channels of the that common people could talk about what they really feel. As an artist, you can paint something and put it in the wall. Maybe some people saw that, but no, it's not a massive.
I was thinking about it the other day when I was at a city council meeting, and everybody got 2 or 3 minutes to speak, and person after person after person went up and expressed their opinion for 2 or 3 minutes, and then the city councilors hear them, and presumably they take that into account when voting, and sometimes they do, and sometimes maybe they don't. It's hard to hard to know, but at least it is that vehicle. And at the same time, you know, you it's just such an interesting contrast between Cuba and the United States, because our democracy on a national level is so run by money and corporations.
Yeah, at the end, it's always the same. No, the power, I think, expressed in the same way everywhere. But at least here, you feel each 4 or 5 years or 8 years, you feel a change. You can change something. So in some way, still, your democracy seems to work as European democracy. It's not like in Latin America or in Africa or in so much corruption.
Yeah, I mean it's a long and interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at Cuba, you have quite a lot of freedom as an artist. You're living part time in Miami, part time in Havana. When you are engaged in discussions with your peers, with your fellow artists, with your social activists in both countries, what do you think are the most, like, what do you see as the real positive visions for what Cuba could be in the best case?
I hope that in some way normal people, everyday people, get a voice and get representation, and we need more than one party, of course. We need several point of view about the issues of Cuba and society and how to lead the country, no? We are in a very hard situation economically also, so that would influence a lot what will happen with Cuba. And, you know, when you are in a hard situation economically, that could be very bad for politics also, because who knows who is running could be attract bad money, or it could be, we don't know what will happen with Cuba. It's a very good and a scary time also, because everything will change.
I mean, from the perspective of many Americans, we fear that you will be overrun by American capitalism and lose your own voice in the face of that kind of, you know, corporate, consumer, tourist.
I hope that it's a danger because of that, because we are very weak economically. So it could be, but that's what I think, that we need to see the voices and different point of view of Cuban people.
So what are you working on now?
Well, I'm working a lot with this series of the consumism. I'm making a new series working with the Lotto. The title is The Lotto Dream, because I feel that here is money is like very important, no? And the people have like this dream to have everything. And I'm working with the experience of people who won the Lotto and they fail. They get dead, or they
like
lost
in the
money
United States?
In the United States. Yeah,
so people who won the lottery and it didn't help them.
Yeah.
Have you met some of these?
No, I am researching just through internet, or not. I never met in real life, but it's kind of interesting for me that, because I will worry a lot with this also, and from the perspective of Cuban emigration, what people expect to find here has been a subject that I work a lot. And now, for me, it's interesting also the failures in this dream, no?
Sandra Ramos is an artist visiting the United States from Cuba. She lives in Havana and Miami. Her website is sandraramosart.com. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to Studio X for their technical support and web design.